FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
Welcome, and you are listening to the Financial Survival Network, and I'm Carrie Lutz, and today is September 5th, 2018. Hey, as always, we invite you to be a part of the show. Email us, kl@carrielutz.com. Well, are we going to see another wave of inflation? Is inflation back from its long hiatus? Well, demographically, there are good reasons why. The millennials are in the acquisitive phase of their generation, and there's more millennials than there were baby boomers, of which yours truly is a member. So there are reasons. Hey, what about the shadow banning, the internet censorship? Does it affect you? Should you care? Well, there are reasons why. Hey, with us now, our good friend Jason Hartman. And just go over to jasonhartman.com. Check out Jason's latest shows and numerous real estate offerings. Jason, welcome back.
Hey, thanks, Carrie. How you doing?
All right. So inflation, your thesis is, and you've been pretty much right about the Trump presidency all along. I mean, you called that he was going to be great for real estate, modifications of Dodd-Frank, all these things that really kept money out of real estate. He's striking down the barriers, but is all this going to result in higher prices? So inflation, there's different definitions. For our definition, higher consumer prices, we'll call that inflation, even though that's not really it.
It's not the academic definition,
exactly.
But you know, that's the realistic definition to everybody, higher prices. Okay.
Right.
So yeah, absolutely. You know, my predictions have been very solid, except for one miserable failure, and that is interest rates. I have not done a very good job predicting interest rates. You know, that's because they can defy gravity with the way the central banking cartel is set up. It's just illogical. You can't predict the dang interest rates. Ask Grant and his Interest Rate Observer. Even they have trouble doing it.
And he's so, and he's the best there is.
He is the best there is.
The best
Grant's
is not
Interest Rate Observer. Yeah, absolutely.
The best isn't
absolutely
good enough, because they can change the definition of inflation, change the measurement of it, and then they can do whatever the hell they want anyway. So how can you beat that? You really cannot.
You can't compete with that. It's ridiculous. But suffice it to say, yes, I mean, I've been right about price increases, rent increases, price declines during the Great Recession. I predicted that a couple of years in advance easily when everybody was saying I was crazy. And I've been saying inflation is coming. And, you know, it was for a while. Then it took about 3-4 years off, I'd say. Mm-hmm. Legitimately, except in the area that nobody counts, Carrie, and we've talked about this before, asset price inflation. Interestingly, that is completely ignored. Mm-hmm. You know, my thesis is that this asset price inflation issue, when the CPI and the core rate were saying, hey, inflation is very tame, the assets were inflating like crazy, stocks and real estate and other financial assets. And my thesis is that when you have massive asset price inflation, on the long term, that diminishes wealth for, in this case, generation Y. Okay, the millennials. Gosh, I can't keep my demographics straight today, can I? The millennial generation, Gen Y, because it doesn't allow as many people to get in the game of investing, the asset investment game. If assets are highly appreciated, people are left out. They can't buy a house. They can't get into the stock market. They can't do a lot of things when asset prices have inflated. So you take that out 7 years, 10 years, and those people are going to accumulate wealth at a much slower rate than prior generations that weren't under the asset inflation pressure. Maybe they had price inflation. Sure, the baby boomers experienced a lot of price inflation in the 70s, for example. But now, real inflation is coming back, as we talked about in your intro. But you know, we have this asset price inflation all along. And if people can't buy assets as investments, they will be hard pressed to create wealth. You've got to be in the investor class to create wealth, right?
And there's really no other way, regardless of what the investment is. And you don't even need to be that good at it. When you start, that's the beauty of it. Like my son, 25 years old, he's probably accumulated about $60,000 in savings now. He's saving 20% of his after-tax income. And in 401ks, all that, he's going to be getting into real estate. Right now, he's planning to go to grad school because in his line of work, having that degree definitely is monetizable. It's not like getting a doctorate in puppetry. It's valuable. And that's another investment. Let's not forget about investing in yourself, human capital. That always pays off as long as you invest strategically in things that are going to help you. So the point is, the sooner you start investing, the better. And also, if there's going to be inflation, if you invest 10 years earlier than you might have otherwise invested, you're going to effectively save the price of 10 years of inflation. So there's no reason not to invest now. The other thing I want to point out, Jason,
That's a good way to look at it, by the way. That's a kind of a key statement you just made. You're going to save the price of 10 years of inflation, Kerry. That's a very wise thing you just said there. That's very interesting. Go ahead.
And it's true. And this goes along totally. Look, Jason, you know I've interviewed hundreds, if not several thousand people about investing, and very few of them have been correct. But the fact is, we go back 7 years now, and from the get-go, you've been right about everything except interest rates. And the beauty is, you didn't have to be right about interest rates because everything you said worked. So yeah, if you had been right about interest rates, maybe prices in real estate wouldn't have gone up as fast as they have because, you know, the higher the mortgage rate, it has a moderating influence.
Sure it does. Well, had I been right about interest rates that should have increased much sooner, then I guess I wouldn't have done as well, and neither would our clients.
Right, exactly. but the point is,
to be wrong sometimes, right?
But yeah, you profited from your incorrect call. But the point is that even if you'd called it right, so you know maybe your appreciation has been 12% effectively, your cash on cash return. So it would have been 8%, but you still would have blown away all the other options out there. Like I say, nobody else that I have interviewed on the show, and if you've listened to this show for any amount of time, you know it's lots and lots of people, stock people, Bitcoin people. Yeah, if you bought Bitcoin at 50 cents, you'd still be sitting pretty. But that wasn't a strategy. That wasn't a system to build wealth.
What if you bought Bitcoin at 18,000 or whatever the peak was?
You'd be in a tub full of warm water with a razor blade now.
Yeah.
You know, especially if you mortgaged your house to do it, which idiots out there who I told not to did it. So
lots of people lost their shirt in cryptocurrencies and all these different ICOs, initial coin offerings on the on all of the copycat coins. There are so many of them are such a scam. It's just unbelievable. People are just getting completely scammed. They talk about how fiat money is worthless. Well, at least fiat money has aircraft carriers, intercontinental ballistic missiles, standing armies, rule of law. You know, fiat money actually not fiat. Okay.
Yeah. Well, fiat, you know, what you have to realize about the dollar is it's not a currency. It is a system. Okay. Mm-hmm. It is a system of commerce that is utilized around the world universally, and challenges will come and go. Maybe at some point the Chinese will actually usurp the dollar. But for right now, the dollar is the dollar, and there's no avoiding that. So it's a system that's backed up by those intercontinental ballistic missiles, the aircraft carriers, and laser beams in space, and whatever else you want to think of. But that's the fact. The dollar is there. Prepare for inflation. You know, Will Rogers once said, invest in inflation. It's the only thing going up. And the fact is that inflation will eventually make your real estate investments prosper all the more because for all the reasons that you've said. And just go over to Jason's site and you can get his 10 commandments of investing, which are more applicable now than they've ever been, Jason. So, hey, we got to talk about something serious here.
Yeah,
now.
We do. Yeah. But before that, I just want to mention one more thing on predictions. You know, I think it was George Orwell that said, in a time of universal deception, telling the truth is a revolutionary act. And yes. You talked about how I predicted things, you know, for the last 7 years, and we've probably known each other maybe 5 years, I'm guessing, Carrie, something like that. But way before then, I was right on too, you know. I mean, back in 2003, I was talking about the market crash, and you wouldn't believe the most vociferous arguments from these realtors in Orange County, California, where I lived at the time, back in Newport Beach and Irvine. I mean, they were just offended. They hated me for predicting this. And I said, look, it's so easy to know that this is going to happen. All these people are taking out 3-1 ARMs, adjustable rate mortgages, or 5-1 ARMs, and they're all going to adjust right around the end of 2005. And there's no way these people are going to suffer what's called payment shock. They cannot afford their overvalued, overleveraged homes, and they will give them back to the bank. They will walk away. And that's exactly what happened. So I just wanted to point that one thing out because, you know, we didn't go back far enough in the prediction cycle. So, you know, the prediction business is a dangerous business. It's very hard to do, but it is very important to consider all of this stuff. And just remember that a lot of it defies gravity. And that's why the predictions are so hard to do, because it's nonsensical when you get these entities involved that don't act rationally. And those are things like Federal Reserve, all central banks around the world and governments. It's irrational. It doesn't work in the normal free market economics sphere of the world, right?
Hey, you know what Yogi Berra said? Prediction is very tough, especially when you're talking about the future.
So, I love Yogi Berra. And he also said the future ain't what it used to be.
Yeah.
He was great.
That kind of fits in with Eisenhower saying things are more like they are now than they've ever been before. So
it's like deja vu all over again. Yeah. We should have a quote match off. I love that.
Oh, hey, I collect quotes. I've got rolling around in my gray matter because don't forget, we predate the internet. Now you could just go QuoteSmith or whatever. Right, and you could look up every freaking quote on the planet, and they're all good.
In the old days, we used to buy books with quotes in them.
Yeah, and I memorize them whenever I hear a good one. Aphorisms, they're actually called. And aphorisms are great. So, hey, maybe we will do a show just on that.
That's funny. Good stuff. So, next topic.
So looking at internet censorship.
This is the scariest thing ever, isn't it?
Yeah. And it really affects you and I. You know, we make our livings off the internet one way or the other, directly or indirectly. And, it's a big deal. Or as Joe Biden would say, a big effing deal.
It affects the entire culture. And I got to tell you, these big tech companies are the scariest thing going. Mm-hmm. Whether it's certainly Google is probably the scariest company on earth. Next is Facebook. Maybe Facebook is scarier than Google. I'm not sure. And then even Amazon. You would think that Amazon is some like innocent company because they're not really in the information business in the same way. Of course they are. You kidding? Look at their movie studio, and look at how when you look for a book or something on Amazon, they can control what you see. Yeah. And all of these companies, their algorithms are top secret, and you have no idea why you see the results you see in a search.
It's a black box.
And Carrie, like you say, I love, what I say is that these companies either need to be split up under antitrust law into smaller components so they don't control so much of the world's information, or they need their algorithms need to be made public and open source so everybody can see what's going on behind the scenes, or they need to be regulated like utilities. And that's what you say mostly. Utility companies, I mean, these companies are so big, they're utilities, aren't they?
It's like
the electric company or the phone company.
Same thing. Like, you wouldn't want the phone company, Verizon or AT&T, whomever you might use, to say, you know, Jason, we don't like the sound of your voice. We really don't like what you're saying. So you can make 911 calls and you can get emergency calls, but outside of that, forget it. You can't do anything. And, you know, that's what you don't want. They're common carriers. It's the easiest
common way. Carriers. Yeah. Yes. So they would basically cut you off if they don't like what you're saying on their telephone. Mm-hmm. And why is the internet any different now? Look at love or hate Donald Trump. It doesn't matter. But I tell you, the way he is finally starting to attack these tech companies is good news for the free world.
Got
okay.
You.
I mean, this is a serious, serious problem. And there's another component to it. It's called the CDA. And you being a recovering attorney, Carrie, you know what that is, the Communications yes. Decency Act, mm-hmm. which is so improperly named because it's the Communications Indecency Act is what it really is.
It's like Affordable Care. It's the same kind of thing. It's the opposite of what it actually does. That's what Milton Friedman said.
That's a good point. Yeah. So with the CDA, here's the way that works. And I'm not a lawyer here, but I am struggling with it because I have an online troll who is trolling me, who is defaming me, who is sending emails to my clients. It is mind boggling. What I've never gone through anything like this before. And I'm in the consumer advocacy business. And let me tell you, it's a tough business. When I find, criminal behavior going on or unethical behavior, either one, I talk about it on my show. And definitely get some haters doing that, okay? Because these bad actors do not like being called out. So anyway, I've got these trolls that are doing this. And why is it that the New York Times or the LA Times or any normal media outlet, ABC, CNN, Fox, whatever, they have to editorialize and vet what goes through their platform? If the New York Times prints something defamatory about someone, they are responsible. You can sue them for that. Yet these tech, and I know there's an op-ed page, right? And so people can go and write letters and they will be published potentially, but they vet the letters. They decide what gets published. Mm-hmm. But with these tech companies, okay, Facebook, Google, all of the complaint sites, Yelp has been in lots of litigation about this over the years. And there's some really sleazy complaint sites that are literally extortion sites. I'm not even going to mention their name. I don't want to popularize them because they're disgusting. And they are exempted by the CDA because they just say, hey, look, we're a platform. We're like the phone company. You can pick up the phone and say whatever you want, but you can't say it to, 5 billion people. You can only call a limited number of people at a time on the phone, right? But they somehow inappropriately got under this kind of thinking of the telephone versus being a media outlet. And they are media outlets. Mm-hmm. Facebook has mostly user-generated content, okay? Mm-hmm. Why is it that they don't have to be responsible for what's on their platform, just like ABC, NBC, the New York Times, CNN, Fox? Yeah. They're responsible. If they say something that is untrue or, defamatory in some way, libelous, mm-hmm. they can be held to account. Yet these internet companies just put up their hands and say, sorry.
Well, look, it's difficult when you look at, there's 100 million videos on YouTube. How can they, Google, police that? It's really kind of impossible. It's they need a better mechanism for arbitrating disputes,
right?
Because they need to be the final arbiter. You need to complain, and you should be able to have a hearing of some sort, digital hearing, papers, whatever. So when your work's under attack, you can defend it. And if you've been maligned or defamed by a posting, whether it's YouTube or Google or Facebook or Twitter, you should you should have the ability to immediately get your grievances redressed. Thing should be put on hold. It should be decided within 3 to 4 days. Put it on hold until then, and then an appeal process, and then go to court if necessary. Well, and that'll stop the anonymous garbage, because then the poster will have to defend it. And there shouldn't be anonymous posting. I mean, anonymous posting, on the one hand, it's good for, because certain people don't want to expose themselves if they're whistleblowers. On the other hand, it makes it too easy to defame legitimate businesses like yours, Jason.
Absolutely. So the interesting thing about that is, you said there are, you know, 100 million videos on YouTube or whatever the number. It's more than that, I'm sure. But you know, maybe there shouldn't be that many videos on YouTube, right? If YouTube wasn't so big, and remember, it's owned by Google or Alphabet. So they own the two biggest search engines in the world. Number one is Google. Number two is YouTube. Isn't that unbelievable? Okay. And they control, what, 70% of the planet's internet traffic? That is insane that this company is allowed to exist and not be massively regulated or split up into smaller companies. Now, look at Carrie, you and I both have a libertarian bent. I get it. But these companies were able to get so big because of the way the public markets work and the way smaller players can't access the public markets. So they got big through regulation. They have armies of lobbyists in government offices every day. You know, we don't have that. Okay. No one's fighting for the people really in any real way. They're censoring PragerU videos, Prager University, Dennis Prager's project, which, by the way, is fantastic. They're censoring him, and he's suing YouTube. I hope he gets somewhere, but I don't know if he will.
All right. Well, we have to kind of wrap up here, Jason, but we got an offer to FSN community members.
Absolutely.
Tell us.
So, we have two events coming up in Hawaii, and Carrie, I'm looking forward to seeing you there.
I'm going to be there.
First week of November, we've got a conference called Profits in Paradise. It's a totally new conference. Again, we've been doing this for 14 years, and this is a totally new conference in Hawaii at the most iconic hotel on Waikiki Beach. First week of November. And then we've got a mastermind retreat immediately following that, which is optional, and that is in Kauai. And those are each 2 days long. And you can go to jasonhartman.com, and we will set up a promo code for your listeners for $100 off. And there's an airfare war to Hawaii right now. So plane tickets are cheap.
That's even better.
This ought to be an awesome time.
Yeah. This is great. I love it. I love it. Well, hey, I'm going to be there, and, you know, not just in my FSN capacity here.
Yes. And Carrie, I want to give you an advance welcome, because you are going to be getting involved with our company and doing some investment counseling. Your audience has been so receptive to our message over the years. We have many, many clients who are FSN followers, and they have purchased lots of properties through us. And we thought, you know, we got to disintermediate here. We got to have them go direct to Carrie, the man himself. And so I'm really glad you're coming aboard, and it's going to be great fun. And I think your listeners are going to love it. So, you know, I'm sure you'll talk about that more.
It's like I said, you know, I wouldn't be coming on board, except that of all the people I've interviewed, you have the best track record. You know, real estate guys are notorious. Come and go.
Oh, yeah.
And they have a new course and a new system, and this, your system. And like I say, I think we've known each other somewhere between 6-7 years, but your system's been around for over a decade. You've tweaked it, changed stuff like vacation rentals coming up now, but the basic system is unchanged and unfailing. It has worked. It worked through the Great Depression, Great Recession, I should say, Freudian slip. So that's why I'm being a part of this. Anyways, hey, if you want to go to Hawaii, what are we giving away here, Jason?
Okay, so if they type in FSN in the promo code box, let's make it $100 off for your listeners. So we will have that special promo code FSN for Financial Survival Network as a promo code for Carrie's listeners, and it'll give anybody a $100 discount on their tickets. And tickets are at early bird prices. We got 2 months before the event, so they're still at the second level of early bird pricing. And there's an airfare war to Hawaii. And hey, Hawaii is paradise. It's our first event there, and we've got these two events together. So make a vacation out of it. Many of our attendees are bringing their family, and they're just going to make it a great time. So it'll be educational. It'll be tax deductible, at least part of it, and it'll be a great time for all. So we look forward to seeing you in Hawaii. Go to jasonhartman.com. Use the promo code FSN.
All right, Jason. Hey. And send me an email, any questions, comments, what Jason and I have discussed, especially about inflation and so-called net neutrality or net hostility, I would call it, by the big majors.
I love it, net hostility.
It's really net hostility when you get down to it, to free thought, free thinking.
Right.
Hey, remember, Jason, all critical thought begins with a question. And if you can't ask the questions, if people are forbidding you, companies are forbidding you to even ask the question, then how does critical thinking come about? It's a war on critical thinking, critical thought, and that's what you need to know about it. Anyways, just
Carrie, can I mention one more thing on that? That's such a good point you just brought up. I know we got to go, but I'll tell you something. The First Amendment was invented, or I should say created by our founders to keep the government from oppressing the people. But now we have these companies that are so large, like Google and Facebook, they are basically pseudo-governmental almost in size and scale. And they are doing the same thing. They are oppressing the people. Why wouldn't the First Amendment apply to giant private companies that control so much of the world's information? It should, because they are the size and scale of governments.
Absolutely. Yeah. Couldn't agree with you more. So, hey, think about that and, you know, just be prepared, because it's not going to get better. It's going to get worse. Anyway, Jason, good luck. We'll see you in Hawaii.
All right. Happy investing to you and your listeners.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get 3 free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.